I always in search of the opposite and something new. If a day passes without a new idea, I feel bad. Not depressed, because I'm very angry on me. So my anger and my struggle, and the need for these tensions, unites me perhaps with prisoners, and keeps me away from depression.
This is the podcast to restore your faith in humanity. Once giraffe heroes, we now call our participants guardians of humanity. Courageous, tireless workers for the common good. May each of them inspire you to follow in their tracks and contribute your own part to a just society and a healthy environment. Welcome to another episode of the podcast to restore your faith in humanity. Today I welcome Hans Claus, a fellow Belgian who is in all regards a jack of all trades. Not only is he a painter, a sculptor, a photographer and a writer-performer, but for 38 years he was also the director of the prison of the city of Oudenaarde. He retired 3 months ago from this last office, but no worries, he knows what to do. Though retired, he still is Belgium's most notable advocate of a human attitude towards prisoners. And hardly a day goes by that he is not fighting for the enforcement of a maximum capacity for the overpopulated European prisons. Because prison overcrowding continues to be an acute and persistent problem in a significant number of European prison administrations. In Belgium, in March of this year, it emerged that one prisoner had been tortured for days in an Antwerp jail, which staff failed to notice due to overcrowding and understaffing. This cell was designed for 3 people, but contained 6 men. This incident is one of many, but at the same time, it is the most horrific consequence of a flawed long-term justice policy that Hans Claus has been denouncing for decades. Belgium is preceded only by Cyprus and France, where the overpopulation is even a bigger problem. Overall, 11 out of 27 countries in the European Union deal with overpopulation. Hans Claus co-founded De Huizen, a non-profit organization that focuses on small-scale and recovery-oriented detention to promote reintegration and reduce the risk of recidivism, based on the Scandinavian model. This organization forms a completely new penitentiary paradigm where prisons are replaced by small-scale detention houses, differentiated in terms of guidance and security, and are also anchored in society. 5 houses are now active in Belgium. Apart from his advocacy in this matter, Hans is also the author of the Declaration of 30 November. In 6 outlines, the declaration sketches a society in which the economy serves people and nature, where spiritual values are more important than material things, and where virtual growth is also questioned. Welcome, Hans. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Every day better after my retirement 3 months ago. Yes, it's it's first time that I experience freedom in that way.
Okay, you know what to do.
Yes, of course, because the struggle goes on to change the system. We have an organization which tries to change the system in a structural way. We were already doing that for nearly 15 years, and this struggle goes on. The only thing that has changed is that I do not manage the prison on a daily basis.
Are you the morning type, or does your energy rather flows in the evening?
I think it's rather flowing in the evening. Yeah, the creative part of it, certainly.
We both speak Dutch as a native language, and now we talk English. How often do you talk English?
Well, as the organization that I mentioned has turned into an international organization.
Are we talking about the declaration of 30th November?
No, we are talking about rescaled. Rescaled is in fact the organization that wants to replace prisons by small-scale detention houses, but we do not only so in Belgium, but since 5 years we are busy in 17 countries already to change the system. European countries, 17 European countries.
And so you lead
partners in 17 European countries, and of course then we speak English, so that's why my English is improving.
And these people rely on you to give sentence to this organization to lead it.
I am the founding father of the thing, so and I keep an eye on whether this the organization and the different organizations in these 17 countries keep focused on the same goal. That's my role.
And do you have time to paint and to write apart from that?
Yes, of course. I always had this time, even when I was prison director, which is a 24-hour responsibility. Escaping from duty is a big drive for creativity. I still have more time, of course, and the struggle is that I do not have to escape anymore, and this could be bad for creativity, but experience is an experiment.
The painting behind you is by your hand?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
What do we see?
You see refugees waiting for getting into our rich part of the world.
Is that also part of your declaration of 30th November, this struggle for human attitude towards migrants?
It is complementary. So at a certain moment in my career, I wondered why this change, so changing prisons into small-scale detention houses, why it was a success, because no one could predict that it would be a success. Everyone said this is impossible, there are already 5 detention houses in Belgium now. I wondered what kind of society is welcoming this change. So it was contradictory that we could change prison system in a human way, while society was getting more and more strict and punish-minded. And that was a question, that was a problem that I had to solve. So I gathered a lot of people from very different backgrounds asking the question, so if people feel bad, if this society feels uncertain, if there is so much anger and fear, what big dream is under it that we even do not know, and that gives this bad feeling? Because if we are afraid of something, that means that something that we want is not fulfilled? What dreams are not fulfilled? And this ended up in the declaration of 13 November with six
outlines.
Yes, six outlines that that together make a sketch of the society that we would want. And I think that is what we really need, not only being anxious about what we are getting to lose, but that we want, but we have to learn what to bring under words to speak about the thing that we really want to become. In fact, the same as with prison reform. Everyone was complaining about the prison, but and there were congresses all over complain and to document why prison did not work, until we got a new vision of what detention could become. If you want to change something structurally, thoroughly in society, you need these two things: being very angry about the thing that we do not want anymore, but also heavily dream of something new, and that this something new is clear enough and shared enough by enough people.
Hans, for 38 years you have had meetings with other prison directors here in Belgium, probably in Europe as well. How did they see you, as a pain in the ass, or did you encounter also people who stood by and helped you in fulfilling this dream?
I found people who helped to fulfill this dream, but not under my colleagues. My colleagues reacted in anxious way, reacted in an angry way also, because it was like I did not appreciated what they were doing in their prisons, and everyone is the most of my colleagues that I know are doing their utter best to act as human as they can within prisons. I know, but the prison as a system sucks, and they did not realize that my criticism was not to them, but was directed to the system, to the structure. So at first I did not have many friends with my colleagues. In fact, they took distance from me. But I had I was not alone, because as I already said, there are many criticisms and many critics about the prison system. I was very active in human rights organization in Belgium. I had contacts with politicians, with people, with journalists, and so I created a community of people who are friendly to me.
Are you a networker?
Yes, I think. Yes.
Your address book is filled with a lot of names and phone numbers.
Yes, that's how it works. But it's not enough to network. You also have to be creative, creative and have a clear idea of what you want to realize. And this idea has to be shared with other people. So to share the idea, it is very good that they take part in finding the idea.
And can you tell us, Hans, these five or six smaller detention houses that now exist in Belgium, what are the strong points? What are the things that make these houses so positively working?
The fact that it is a small scale means that a personal approach is possible, and this is the whole difference with the prison. In a prison, the prison is the most important thing, and if there is some time, then they can speak with people in a, but the moment after they have spoken with the prisoner, he goes back to the system, and he is already lost again. So this is not the case in a small scale detention house, of course, where the personal approach is an ongoing thing. People know each other by name and by character, and that this is a very different thing. In prisons, you have two kind of people. You have the guards and you have the prisoners, and the system tears them apart.
Is there something of a prisoner in you?
A prisoner in me?
Yeah, because you say you have two kinds of people, the guards and the prisoners. Do you feel sometimes that you are an imprisoned soul yourself, or have been one in maybe an earlier life or something? What makes you so fond of prisoners?
Huh. I think that the thing that unites us is I heard someone saying, I like two kind of people, criminals and artists. So and I think the thing that combines these two people are the fact that they fight with boundaries, that they want to go over boundaries, that they do not, that in fact they are not that imprisoned. So prisoners are of course imprisoned, but the reason why they became imprisoned is that perhaps they did not feel very imprisoned by the system, by laws, by conventions, by.
I remember that my grandmother always said that she wanted to spend one or two nights in prison just to feel how it was, and there are actually people who really choose by themselves to have a recluse life. I think that was more the case in medieval times, and nowadays it's not so common anymore. But you know, a lot of Christian monks and also Buddhist monks locked themselves up.
Yes. Yeah.
So there is inside a lot of humans, there is this want of being isolated. No?
Yeah, but this is not the case with prisoners. They did not choose to come and to be isolated. No. Yeah, that's a romantic thing, of a romantic idea about getting imprisoned. But of course, it plays a role in if you have been imprisoned, you change. You change because you are confronted with things that you walked away from before. You walked away from yourself.
Nelson Mandela could never have become the Nelson Mandela we know had he not been in prison.
No. And that tolerant, for instance. Huh? Prison could be a very good example for society. Because in society, when we have troubles one with the other, then we tend to put this person away and to cut him out of our life. In prison, it is impossible. If there are problems with the other person, you stay with the other person, and you have to search a solution. You have to search for a new common ground, and you cannot remain isolated one from another. You are put together. Right?
Yes, certainly in an overpopulated prison. So to what extent are Belgian prisons overpopulated?
I think nowadays it's 12%. 12%, which is a really high figure. Eh? This means that if you have 12,000 prisoners, you have my calculation is not, but you have 1,500 people. Too much. Eh? In prison, so that means that 2,000 to 3,000 people are staying with two in a cell of one. 3,000 of the 12,000. Yeah, you have to see it like that. And this is also concentrated in some prisons, because in prisons for a long stay, we manage to give every prisoner his own cell, because of course this is an impossible thing to live together for years with someone in a cell that is too small. So in these 3,000 people, they are concentrated in some prisons. So some prisoners in some prisons, there are so nowadays we have 100 yesterday we had 150 people all, that we could not give even a bed, so in a cell where two people stay, you have two beds, one above the other, but that means that there is a third one coming in, and he is only getting a something to sleep on the ground.
And I suppose that in your smaller detention houses, you have managed to you have a maximum capacity. You do not, or do you also go over that?
Yeah, these, first of all, these are not my detention houses. Yes. Detention houses also of you.
I pay taxes.
Only, I just put an idea into the world, and with my network, I try to realize.
Thank you for reminding me they are also mine.
But and this is an experimental phase. Although the detention houses are also embedded in the law already, so they cannot vanish anymore. So it's more than an experiment. It's by law that they have been installed. But we have to speak with two words. This is an experimental phase. Of course everyone now within the system is trying to get this experiment in. That it ends good, there are six more detention houses planned already, and we try to keep them out of this overpopulation matter in this phase.
So you not only call for a better world in economic and social terms, but you also point out that there are spiritual values missing, and that we need to find the new spiritual path.
Yes, these six outlines, in fact, are six times a turnover of values that nowadays are dominant in our society. And one of these values dominant in our society now is that they want to be liberal, but in fact they are very Marxist. They say that the material thing is the most important thing. And if there is some time over to some free time over to do spiritual things, you do. But in fact, the most important thing, and in the dominant way of thinking, it's that we are material beings, and if we are good, well stuffed around, with all stuff around us, then we are happy. But of course, this is not the fact. So also this outline has to be turned over. In fact, it is the opposite. When we do the things we do in the day, that we have to eat and we have to have a roof over our head and we have to be clothed, and of course these things are very important, but we do these things. Why do we do these things? Because in the end of the day, we want to speak with someone else about all the things that we have encountered by doing all the things we do. And that is what that gives us a meaning into our life. So the real, if you want to search for what is the meaning of our life, it is to be to give meaning to the things that we have been doing that we have been doing during the day. And why, how do we give meaning to the things? Because we tell about the things to other people, right? We are very related to other people. That we are in fact social, very social beings, giving meaning to the things we do.
And what, and that is the social practice. But can I ask you, what is your personal practice in these matters? How do you wash your soul?
I think I'm a bad person about that. I'm not that spiritual as you would like me to be. So I have been doing very bad things in prison, with prisoners. Knowing that they were bad, explaining to the people that I inflicted some punishment on, that I was doing bad things with them, but I had to do them, because if not, the system would not longer hold me in place. And I wanted to keep in place because I had some goals, I had some things to do with the system, and if I fled from the system, I would not have any voice in to change. So my soul can become black. I don't matter about my soul. It's about the people after me. So that's my I'm not that spiritual. Yes. In fact.
What is the little ritual that you use to not to get depressed?
I think it's I need struggle. I really this is a very difficult question, you know. It goes really deep. If people tell me something, I always think that my first question is always, and if the opposite were true, if you say something, I think the opposite, because I'm always. I'm always creative. In fact, I'm always created.
It is the dialectic mind.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Dialectic mind. I think that's true. I always in search of the opposite and something new. If a day passes without a new idea, I feel bad. Not depressed, because I'm very angry on me. So my anger and my struggle, and the need for these tensions, unites me perhaps with prisoners, and keeps me away from depression.
Hans, we are now 5 years later than the declaration of 30th November, and I read your recent summer letter, and in that you literally say that, or you insinuate that some people had hoped that it would engender political action, and you say, like, let's wait. Why is that?
Yeah, it's too early, because well, it's my experience with the houses is very dominant in my life, of course, because that's the only thing that I have changed in this world until now. And my experience there tells me that you do not have to make appeal on politicians too soon. First, you have to have a good common ground with a number of multidisciplinary people, and the idea has to be accepted by in a cultural way, in a certain cultural way, not 80% of the people. If you have 10 or 15% of the people who are very convinced about something, that we want to become, something new, and that it's concrete enough, then you can go to the politicians.
So you need fellow activists first.
Yes. And it will take much more time with the Declaration of November than with the houses, or than with the penitentiary system, because it is much more wider. It's wider. It will certainly take 10, 15 years before you have a solid common ground, and then politicians will become, you don't have to go in search for politicians, they will come to you.
A lot of people in the end realize their dream by creating a village, a utopic place where people gather and live together in the way that their manifesto states. Is that also a dream of you or not?
Yeah, it is one possible way, and the one does not exclude the other. But it is so, if you create such a village, the goal of that is that it inspires the whole society. And this focus on the whole society is my focus, in fact. And these villages or communities can inspire, that they can be part of this movement, but they are not the goal of it. They are the means.
You said Christ could be one of the files in my office.
Yeah, that's because it is the truth. He was condemned to death. So nowadays we condemn someone to life sentence, and I had many life sentences within my prison. So tells me that we make a god of someone, but in the meantime we killing God every day. That's a very strange contradiction in this society. In fact, this is a little secret. The moment that I decided to become active in prison, to do my prison career. Was because I've been educated in a Christian way, very Catholic, going to the church every Sunday. I was at that time, I think I was very spiritual, or something like that, because this is for me a very very difficult definition. But then I went out of the church, and I heard people speaking to each other about in a condemning way, or this one is bad and you cannot trust this one. For me, this was very contradictory with all the stuff that I heard from church, and I say, yeah, but perhaps I have to give my life to the people that no one wants anymore. So it is in going out of church that I said, well, if you don't want all these people, I will go to these people. So, why do I say that now?
Well, because, I think you also gave a little answer to how much of a prisoner is there in you. Working there didn't make you happy every day, I can imagine. And I can imagine if you had chosen to be a painter or a writer, you would have maybe have had a much more fulfilling life.
I sometimes think about that, but of course this work in prison, this was an everyday artwork. It was because in the end I made it an environmental art. I have managed to make a beginning of environmental change of prison. And so the change the environment in which we people together in detention. And this environment inspires to, if you have a small house, you are inspired to have personal contact with the ones that you have to do your household with. So I have changed, this is in fact an environmental art piece. And the whole my career was in fact an art piece. Every day when I entered prison, I was wondered why these things were happening, why rules were so more important than people. We always say that the rules are there to give people more oxygen, but in fact it's the opposite. So it, yeah. It is an art piece.
And did you meet a lot of fellow artists within the walls of the prison?
There are always a certain percentage of prisoners, of course, who are drawing or writing poems, and of course they knew that I did, and then these people came to me and they wanted me to read their poems, they wanted me to appreciate their drawings, and I also managed to have a good collaboration with the academic, with the arts academic of the town. So there is a class in prison, and in fact it's the same class, and sometimes the people from the academic from the art school came into the prison because the teacher was giving the lesson to the whole of his class, and so there was art. I did something with art in prison, and I met artists in prison. Of course I did, but this is not very dominant.
One of the reasons that I know you is through a mutual friend of ours. He was a colleague to you. He was not a prison director. He was a ward. And to me, I mostly admired him. I went to Santiago de Compostela to meet him, made a little film about him also. We're talking about Willy Dervaux. And you have made a statue for Willy that is on the Camino de Santiago. It's in Villa Franca del Bierzo. Who was Willy, and why was he so important to you?
Well, if you want to have a definition of a spiritual man and of a saint, for me, perhaps he was not a saint, he sinned also, but also saints may sin. But for me, he was a person that he was enough on his own. And he was in touch with his soul. He Yeah, the thing, all things that I cannot be here. and nevertheless, we were very compagnon de route, in fact, by prison. But also afterwards, I have met him, I think, 10 times afterwards in Santiago and afterwards in Cordoba and so on.
But tell me, how did he, because you describe in a radio interview how he did his work, and it looked as if he did nothing.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah, he did nothing because all the things that we do not matter. And the only thing that he did was listening, being there, listening, being interested in the other people and give appreciation to their story. He carried also the because it were very strong stories and very heavy stories that he had to carry. He carried them. And in fact, when he was in prison, he was just a carrier of the stories that of the people whom he had to take care of. And they knew that he listened to their story and carried this story with him. And by this simple fact, his simple being there was enough to comfort the people whom he was taking care of, to comfort them, to give them a feeling of to matter, to be of importance for someone. Yeah, he was so pure in his way of acting. He acted nearly not. He was so pure and I admired him a lot. It was difficult to work with him. Yeah, I had to work. I had some difficult years with him also, because as I am a creative person, I want to change and I want to be very active. I'm active on different. I'm very opposite to him. In fact, very opposite. That's what made us complementary, I think, and why I was searching for him, and perhaps why he appreciated me. And so it is. This was a wonderful meeting of my life. He made me, in fact, the person that I am have become, I think, to a large extent.
And then he was also one of the founding fathers of this organization that I worked for years, who took not convicted criminals, but young offenders that were minors in age. He took them on a hike, like 4 months to Santiago, and that's where you, in Villa Franca del Bierzo, a few day marches before Santiago, before the end, you had the opportunity of putting a statue for him there. How did that come to be?
Yeah, listen, I made a statue of him while he was still alive. But I did not mention him. I did not speak about him. He would not have appreciated him because, perhaps he would have ordered me to demolish it. And so I did not talk about it. But then he died. At a certain sudden, he died. And I had this statue. And there was the idea growing inside me. I had to do something for him. I had to give the example him. I have to put him as an example for next generations. So I made the head of the statue in bronze, which is for ages, and then I tried to have a good place to. I was in search of a good place to put that statue where he could. With the statue, where he, in fact, as by means of his statue, could meet other people, and by evoking the story of his life, by the story, the his way of being, so I was looking for a good place. I at first I thought perhaps I could start with the beginning And I took contact with a convent where he was a monk once, before he became a prison guard, he was a monk. But I took contact with the convent, and it was again the same feeling that I had when I was coming out of church there. I said, yeah, but really he left the convent, so perhaps it's not okay.
He's a dissident.
He's a dissident. Okay, okay. Not. You don't get that statue. Then I thought I could be Leuven, somewhere, place within Leuven. This was also a possibility because this movement that you talk about has been born in Leuven. But there were some places in Leuven. But then I thought, why not somewhere on the Camino? And I had some contacts, as always.
Good. Hans, what will you do the rest of this day?
I have a beginning of a statue that I want to make, so I have to be, how do you call that in English? Lassen.
Welding?
Yeah, perhaps, yes. I have to make a skelet. So if you make a statue, then first you have to build the movement of the, and afterwards the clay comes on, right? But yes. Perhaps today I will make the movement.
Can you tell us what the statue is, will or will be?
It will be rather big, but it's about a child. In fact, it's a child with a big head and walking into space. So it's in fact an allegory of humankind who wants to become a big boy and who's dreaming over time and over space. So it is in fact the hubris, the hubris.
Yeah, always in Dutch we say overmoed.
Overmoed, yeah.
So the boy is probably gonna hit a wall somewhere.
Yes, he is. But at this time, he is thinking that he is bigger than the universe.
Well, I don't know if you are bigger than the universe or we are together maybe bigger than the universe. But I think that somewhere in the universe, there is some ear that maybe will listen to this podcast and say, hey, this man has helped me, and that's why we do it.
That's why we do it. That's why we are writing poems. Eh? And that someday, yes, Someone uses one little verse of the poem to put in his ear of his beloved. That's why we do it. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Hans, for this wonderful conversation. And for our listeners, be on the lookout for the next episode of the podcast, To Restore Your Faith in Humanity, because we will surely come back very soon. Bye-bye. While you're waiting for the next episode of our podcast, why don't you check our website, fondation-ghf.one. You will find a lot of information, interesting thoughts, and fascinating stories there.